Americans of this generation have seen the movies, and they know how World War II ends. John Wayne won it on the beaches of Normandy and Iwo Jima. Tom Hanks pulled up in the second wave. David Niven and Michael Caine were our plucky allies. The war was fought to free Anne Frank's family from the attic, but stormtroopers got there first. Bogey bid goodbye to Bergman and rejoined the struggle. The music swells. It may be good to remind ourselves on this weekend when the World War II memorial opens that the war, now so universally acclaimed as good and necessary, was opposed by many, probably most Americans, until December 7, 1941. It wasn't just fools or racists like Charles Lindbergh or Father Charles Coughlin who saw it as a war for the Jews, for British imperialism, or U.S. commercial interests. Some of the most respected progressive and civilized minds of the time, including George Bernard Shaw, the Oxford Union, and Senator Robert Taft, saw no moral reason to bear arms. It was a war the U.S. and Britain came close to losing in the first couple of years. There was no guarantee of success, no exit strategy. A number of years ago, we had the chance to ask military historian John Keegan, what if the D-Day invasion had failed? He said, just about this bluntly, well, they would have had to try it again, this time absent any element of surprise. The Churchill government would fall, Roosevelt would not run again, Russia would collapse. He swept a hand as if over a map. America, he said, would look like an island on a blue planet flooded by fascism. He thought the U.S. would eventually sue for an accommodation, and would the regime that handed down the Nuremberg laws and created the death camps have ended racial segregation in the U.S. or encouraged decolonization overseas? How could America's professed values of freedom survive, he asked, if the U.S. had sat back and accepted genocides as long as their own shores were left alone? How many millions, even billions of lives, would have been obliterated or enslaved so that Americans could live in a state of denial some called peace? But this bleak and hellish vision was subverted because so many were persuaded that World War II was worth the sacrifice of their lives and, moreover, some of their children's lives. The war made many civilians feel as vulnerable and as valuable as soldiers. As Harold Nicholson, the historian who sat in the British War Cabinet during World War II, wrote in his diary In the Darkness of the Blitz, "We are conscious all the time that this is a moment in history, perhaps our last. One feels so fearful. One feels so proud."
When the lights go on again, all over the world, and the boys are home again, all over the world, and rain or snow is all that may fall from the skies above, a kiss won't mean goodbye.